Well, if you got your Bibles, open up to Romans 10, chapter 10, verse 8. Title of my message is Make Room for More. It says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we preach. Paul says the very same thing that Moses had spoken back in the old covenant in Deuteronomy 30:14. See, obedience is more than just doing what God has told you to do, but it's also saying what God has told you to say. And here Paul is saying the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. This is something that they went out preaching out throughout their ministry. The word of faith, Jesus. It isn't really the word of faith, it's the word of Jesus. He demonstrated that. The word is near you, it is in your mouth, and in your heart. I understand why people don't like word of faith. I found that out. Why? They don't get results. Word of faith will find you out. Word of faith will basically, it'll make sure, it'll let you know whether your faith is real and authentic or if it's a counterfeit. Because if you're actually believing in the word and you're saying, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, and you get results and they don't, well, they ain't going to like it. I like word of faith. Every once in a while, I'll preach on it. Because, you know, the biggest thing we got to understand is that when God is doing something in our lives, and we're believing him and we're trusting him for it, you're going to have to get your mind renewed. You're going to have to guard your heart and you're going to have to get a grip on your lip. Because you'll end up canceling out everything that you've been believing for. And then what ends up happening is people start blaming everybody else. This situation, that situation, they start blaming God and they don't realize it was right here that was setting their whole world on fire. I don't like word of faith. Yeah, I see why. I don't have to be there when people plant the seed. I just be there for the harvest. Word of faith to find you out. And people want to move away from that, moving away from the faith because they're not getting the results that God said that you would be able to get. This tree dried up because Jesus spoke to it and then he gave him the reason for why they did it. He was able to do it right then and there. He didn't change anything. He gave it to him. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue, Proverbs 18:21. And those who love it will eat their fruit thereof. That's not hard to understand. Simple things that the body of Christ just choose to reject. That's why I say, preach the gospel, not the gossip. Because when you're preaching the gossip, you're casting out everything you've been believing. Everything that the word says. There's some deep conversations on podcasts that people have, and they're really, really good. I like them. Then there are some that just throwing out words, that's like, doggone. Let me shut that off. Why? It's filled with a lot of doubt and unbelief. If you don't doubt in your heart, you're going to have what you say. Say the good things. Speak positive things. Speak the word of God. See, everyone is good when it comes to their salvation. Because you actually have to believe in the name of Jesus. But when it comes to the real things that the Bible talks about, they end up struggling with the believing part. They'll end up canceling out what they've been believing by what they say. Faith will take it every single time. Faith takes what God has already given you by his grace. Everything that Jesus has already given you, he's freely given you. And faith will take that. Faith will grab a hold of it and won't let go of it. When Jairus was there, said, come into my house so that you may heal my daughter. And they got a bad report. Now that woman with the issue of blood, we understand that. And after all that was said and done, and then the servant said, don't bother him anymore. Why is that? Your daughter's dead. And Jesus says, hold on to what you told me. Hold on to your profession of faith. Hold on to that. Why? Faith will take what God is getting ready to do for you. They don't know how to rest in it. See, when you pray, You're going to have trials. When you pray, you believe God, you got to be able to rest in it. You got to be able to rest in it, because you just can't go around sharing out to everybody else who's not in faith, because they're going to end up helping you to cancel out what you've been believing. So you have to take ownership. You have to take responsibility on what you're believing God for. See, the word of faith has never let me down, because it's the word of God. But it will find you out on whether or not you truly trust in God or you trust in your own abilities to be able to get what you want. Renew your mind and guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. Right? And then when things happen, people will look for someone to blame. They'll always look for somebody to blame. You don't have to put yourself in the wilderness just because you don't like something that is in the Word. People, sometimes we'll put ourselves in the wilderness. God is not short on miracles. Has anybody in here ever received a miracle? Either you received it or you're connected to somebody who's received it. He's not short on miracles. But living in the blessing is not necessarily receiving a miracle every time, because every time you need a miracle, it comes out of a crisis situation. See, when you live in a blessing, you got options. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, everything was created for them. You don't think they had the choice of what they wanted to eat? They picked and chose. But when the Israelites were out there in the wilderness, they were crying out. They were complaining. They thought they were going to die. For them, it was a crisis situation, and they needed God to rain down manna from heaven. They needed the fowls of the earth. They needed water to come out of a rock. Every time, every single day, God had to provide a miracle for them, but yet that wasn't his best for them. His best was a land flowing with what? Milk and honey. Come on now. See, when you're living in a blessing, you actually got options. Come on. When you're living in a blessing, you can go to that dealership and say, this is what I want. When you're looking for your house, you can say, this is what we need and what we want. How many of you picked out your house and that's what you wanted? When you're living in a blessing, you got options. My wife and I, we used to be so poor. We couldn't afford the OR. We were poor. We have baking soda in the fridge, ice cubes in the freezer, nothing in the cupboards but our fine china of paper plates and plastic cups. That even today we still have. We had nothing. And here we are just looking through our couches and stuff, trying to find change just to feed our kids. And I remember saying to her, this is the last time this is ever going to happen again. But you know the thing is, we weren't sowing. Zero times zero is what? We weren't giving. We weren't trusting in God. We were coming to church. We were serving, but we weren't giving. It wasn't until we made that declaration and then we started giving. But see, God had used other people to sow into us. And if you were there, one of those people that did gave us gift cards, sold us money, and gave us food. I said, we thank you for that. But see, you was living in the blessing too, because you were able to give more. Come on. And see, and here's the thing. What people don't understand is that when you receive a miracle, allow that miracle is not for you to live in that the whole time. It's to help project you into living in the blessing. Take advantage of that when you receive a miracle. We don't have to receive a miracle to pay your mortgage off every single month. Who does that? You're living in a blessing. Why? Because you have stuff at the end. Because you are being that good steward. You are being that person that God has called. Now you can not only pay your mortgage, you can pay your bills, you can invest, you can save, you can sow into other people, you can give, you can do whatever the Lord is leading you to do. Why? Because you're living in a blessing. You got options. Somebody bringing you groceries. That's a blessing. That's a miracle. God uses somebody to bring you groceries. And that grocery will last for a week or two, and however long you want to stretch it. But see, the thing about it is, you didn't get to choose if you need have those groceries. Now, when you go to the grocery store, you make your list out because you're living in a blessing, and you get to take and get what you want or what you need and what you want. Because do you really need that Ben and Jerry's ice cream? That little pint every now and then, you might take a spoonful of. Do you really need it? Do you really? But see, that's the thing. You have options. And see, and that's what living in the blessing is. I've had cars, many a cars given to me. I never asked for any of them. Not one of them. The last one I received was a truck. I never asked. I asked to pay for it. I asked to buy it off, but I never asked. But when you're living in the blessing, God does extraordinary things in your life. My wife and I, we give so much, like we give above and beyond. Now, if we were to take the 10% of what we give throughout the whole year, the rest of the year, how much it would be, we would need to make $70,000 more just for it to be 10%. We don't ever stop giving. We don't ever stop sowing. See, and I love this phrase. Actually, I don't love it. I think we need to do away with it. What? Well, God is not a genie. Who was the one who started that mess? God isn't a genie. He isn't made up. He isn't a fictitious character. He isn't going to grant you 3 wishes. I know you can't use one of those wishes to wish for, 1,000 more. You know, something. I want 1,000 more wishes. No, he's not like that. God is he is the Almighty. He is El Shaddai. I heard a preacher once say, God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. When he's supplying your need, it isn't going to be on barely getting by street. I guarantee you that. Why? I don't ever pray for my need. He said he'll supply it. I've never prayed for my need. Unless it was a crisis situation, such as finances or what have you. But God is the Almighty. And 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all of the promises of God are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. The Lord has never told me no. You know why? Because I pray according to his word and his will. The only time he's actually told me no, I didn't ask, was when he told me it was time for me to be done coaching. And I didn't put up a fight. And they were even offering me a position. And I could have coached my son for 2 more years and gone to state and all that other stuff. I said, Isaiah's first 2 years, we went to state, and TJ's last 2 years, they went to state or what have you. I said, I could have finished out pretty nice. And here's the thing. The Lord said, you're done. I didn't put up a fight. I was obedient to it. So that's the only time he told me no, but I never asked, Lord, do you want me to? No. Can I? No. But he's never told me no, because we ask according to his will. He's not trying to withhold any good thing from his children. He is El Shaddai. So if the Lord tells a person no, and God always tells me no, I would have to question, are you a true child of God? Or did you bite on something else? The Lord tells you no when it's according to his promises. That is a lot scarier than what people try to make Matthew 7:21 out to be. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. People, that scripture scares a lot of people off, and then they don't ever want to step into what God has called them to in anointing, in the healing, and all that other stuff. So they just back off of that because of that scripture. Well, you just have to have a relationship with him. That's all. That's what he requires. He says, depart from me, for I never knew you. Get a relationship with God first before you start going out trying to do stuff on your own. Be led by the Spirit of God. But if the Lord is telling you no according to his promises, get born again. Place your faith in him. The word of faith will separate men from the boys. It'll put hair in your chest. Not for the women, but it will. Well, when you call those things that be not as though they were. People say are. Sometimes I got to go back to scripture. Oh, it says were. Why? Because it's what Jesus already had established. See, when you have a dog, how many of you have a dog in your home? You got a dog at your house and stuff. It's family member, right? They're a family member. But if your dog was out in the backyard and you stood by the sliding door or your back door and you call for your dog, you're calling something. You're calling your dog to come here, come in the house or what have you, come eat or what have you. You're calling those things that be not. They're not there. You're calling them to be there. And you're operating in it and you don't even know it. And the thing about it is, why can you call and say to your dog, come here, Rusty, come here, boy, come here. And they'll come running. You know why? Because he belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. Salvation belongs to you. Welfare belongs to you. You can call it in. Anytime you need it, you can call it in because it belongs to you. It's yours. But God is not a genie. No, he's El Shaddai. He's the Lord Almighty. You know, sometimes people can get stuck in this competition mode. I said, you like competition? I said, nah, you got to be a worthy opponent. Sometimes when people get in competition, they get petty. I take that the word, the four letters out of that, P-E-T-I, petty. They're petty with it. If you're going to compete, competition is a good, healthy competition is good for you. A good challenge, that's good for you. But then there's the bad part about it. When you begin tearing each other down, that's the bad part of that competition stuff. And we're called to build one another up. See, God is not a genie. He is better than a genie. And we cannot and should not try to reduce him down to being a genie. There are more than three promises in the Word of God that are available to you. More than three promises. But if you departed from the faith, I see why people don't like seeing people asking God for anything. It's not a problem to ask God. That's a good thing. It's not a problem to ask God. You're not getting it by faith. If you're not living by faith, then you're not going to be pleasing to God. If you're not living by faith, you're not pleasing to God. So we can ask these things. So it doesn't matter if he doesn't love you. Jesus loved Judas to the very end, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. And seeing that quote alone, that's not even a scripture. That quote alone has stopped people from actually asking and seeking God. And we're going to read the scripture a little later, but we know in the book of James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, do what? Ask. But God is not a genie. If you lack wisdom, you can ask. Why? Because he's a God that will give it to you generously. That's who he is. He's a giver. He doesn't want you going around by yourself, doing stuff, trying to figure it out. You can just ask. Well, you're cutting corners. Yes, I'm going straight to my Heavenly Father. That's it. And he can tell me everything that I need to know for that situation and for that storm or what have you. That's not hard to do. I'm not trying to be my own God. You shouldn't be trying to be your own God. He is God. He is El Shaddai. Some people just want you broke, busted up, and disgusted. Because they are. Even if there are a lot of storms that come your way, you can still shine. You can still shine. There's been times where I've seen, looking on the map, see all the people. I said, we like to watch the weather sometimes to see what's coming. And there'll be some, oh, we need some rain. And then that stuff just split around haze and then come on back. What in the world? But even if you're in that storm ain't affecting you in a sense because your peace comes from God. And some people want you to look at the storm. All this stuff is going on, all this commotion. If it's hitting Wichita, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting Hayes. If it's hitting over here, it's not affecting me. It's not affecting you. In the book of James, it says this, 1:5-6, we're getting to the wisdom part. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Philippians 4:6, says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. James 4, 2 says, you lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you do not. Come on.
But God is not a genie.
1 John 5, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. But God is not a genie. John 16, therefore you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be complete. But he's not a genie. Luke 11, 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. John 11, 22. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. This is Martha talking to Jesus about her brother Lazarus. Jeremiah 33. It says, call to me and I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. And that word came to Jeremiah while he was in prison. Sometimes people don't want you to ask because they're not getting the results. They're not trusting in God. Their faith is not in God. It's in their ability to be able to manipulate people behind the scenes. They're going around singing that Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. They got the little tiny violin. And then they got to share with those things with people personally and stuff like that because they're facing a deficit, because they got this going on. They got that going on. You know, I got a knock on my door one day, just chilling at the house. Open the door, it's a gentleman that I know. Come on in. I don't know why I didn't offer him a seat, we just stood there. Because I know it's going to be a long conversation. I'm short with my conversations. Y'all know that. But I can be hospitable. But here's the thing, he goes, well, I'm just here. Because, you know, I every once in a while I talk to my daughters. And I ask them from time to time, who are the three most influential people in your life? And he says, your name keeps coming up at the top. She was in our youth. And he goes, I just want to give you this. This is yours. You could do with it whatever you want with it. Kind, compassionate man. Just got a heart to help. Living in the blessing because he has options. And he sows this into me. And I look at that check and I say, oh, my Lord. And I know exactly what I was going to do with it. Because we are getting ready to take our youth to Camp Awakening. Pay for, you know, the van for the week. Bought them food on the way there and on the way back. If they wanted to wanted some merchandise there, they got it. But see, the Lord knew already, and I didn't have to go around. The Lord knew I don't like doing fundraisers. He already knew that. So he met my need, not only met it, but it was an abundance. It was more than enough. And guess what? I didn't have to go and wine and dine this man and tell him my Swing Low, Sweet Chariot songs. I didn't have to do all of that. I didn't have to send somebody else to go do it for me. That's not a miracle. That's the favor of God. There's a difference. God wants you living in the blessing. When you're living in the blessing, there's favor, not miracles. But there are some times where you're going to need a miracle. I needed a miracle. And still, a little bit, that gets under my skin. Why? Because I'm a faith man. That never should have happened. I don't get sick. I haven't been sick since. Just snore a lot more, but the Lord had me get, had me. If I go on a trip, I'll budget for what I need. But he told me to start, this was a long time ago when my wife and I, we were coming back from California, and we like to push. We like to push, and we were getting tired. It was like, we didn't have very much money. We were still po. But we were both tired, and it's like, you know, we're just going to have to get a room. We ended up getting a room like in Colorado somewhere. And the Lord just shared with me, it's like, are you not worth more than $100? Get a room. Stop. Get some rest. Get up in the morning and finish your route. Of course, last year, I wasn't tired. I was pushing. I put 15 hours straight from Vegas. I was rolling. You know, when you roll, you got to have some music to go along with it. You got to have some road music. You got to be jamming out. Windows down. No, it's fine. You got to push. But he says, listen, I can supply your need. All you have to do is trust me. Come on. God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. And how people want to live, we got to make sure that we don't try to compare with one another, because sometimes, well, if we don't do this carefully, we end up trying to be the executor of someone else's estate. And he's never called us to do that. I can't tell you what to spend your money on. You got to be obedient to what God is telling you. And for good measure, I love my truck. I like it, because that was something I was believing the Lord for many, many years, to be able to purchase it. Then there's going to be a day where I can just pay cash for something. Then there's going to be a day where somebody may sell it into me. But I want to be the person that said, where God has taken us is, we don't want to expect a miracle. I said, if you need a miracle, God bless you. No doubt. But we want to expect to be the miracle in people's lives. Yes. See, I can't buy somebody a car. I would love to. I don't want to give a car away. I want to buy somebody. Hey, pick out what you want. Why? Because when you're living in a blessing, you got options. Pick out what you want. I can't do that today. I can buy you a tank of gas. I can buy you some top of the line windshield wipers. You got to start somewhere. I can pay for an oil change. I can buy you a tire. A tire. Don't get it twisted. But you got to start somewhere. I want to be the blessing. In order to be the blessing, you got to be living in the blessing. You got to be open to what God has for you. I said, yes, God in his infinite wisdom knew that we would be living in this nation and we would need finances in order to live. That's why he's given you the ability to get wealth. There's a story of a young lady, a pastor who tells a story about another pastor in this church overseas somewhere. And his pastor believed, you know, of course, we all have a gift. And so what this pastor decided to do, he took like $17. And I know I may butcher this story. Forgive me if you heard it. But he took like $17 and gave it to each person in the congregation and said, you got a gift. Find it and use it. And there's this one particular lady who's like, I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know what my gift is. She goes, what do you love to do? Well, I like cooking. I like making pancakes. Well, make some pancakes, sell them to a business or something. So she started doing it. She got the business, took that $17, got some ingredients, made some pancakes, sold it. They loved it. Put in another order. She went to the store, got more ingredients. Of course, you got to put a little back, you know, a little money back right there to save up. And then she made some more ingredients, made some more pancakes. You know, and the more and more she made it, the better she got at it. She was working her gift. Sold it off again. I said, and then it got to the place to where she was constantly doing that and getting more businesses from other people. Blew up. Why? She was working her gift. Everyone has that. Everyone. Your gift might be, sweeping the floors. But guess what? That may open up a job for you to have your own janitorial business. You got to start somewhere. Do something that, find something. I said, the Lord may put something in your heart that other people don't like to do. If there's a need, fill it. You have something in you. Second Chronicles 1:7 says this, on that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask, what shall I give you? Matthew 18:19, it says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. See, I believe that's more than enough scriptures that deals with the fact that God has called you to ask him. But some people don't want you to ask him because they stop putting their trust in him somewhere down the line. Or they could be holding a grudge, whatever it is. But I'm pretty convinced that the first person who said, well, God is not a genie, was the person who didn't get results. Constantly comparing and competing. And if somebody isn't doing what you're wanting, if they're not doing what you're doing in order to get results, then they're always going to use an opportunity to be able to tear you down and stop you from actually flowing in it. You have the freedom to ask because you're children of God. That is yours. You don't have to stand there and just take that. That is yours. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask. And God will give it to you liberally, generously. It's because of your relationship with him and Jesus being a high priest who can sympathize with us in our weaknesses. It's the reason why we can come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. See, there's spiritual laws that we live by. One of those is the laws of confession. We got to get a grip on our lip. The laws of sowing and reaping. In Galatians 6:7-12, says this, 7-10, sorry. It says, God, this is the Passion Translation, God will never be mocked, for what you plant will always be the very thing you harvest. The harvest you reap reveals the seed that you planted. If you plant the corrupt seeds of self-life into this natural realm, you can expect a harvest of corruption. If you plant the good seeds of spirit life, you will reap bountiful, beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. And don't allow yourselves to be weary in planting good seeds, for the season of reaping the wonderful harvest you planted is coming. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a blessing to others, especially to our brothers and sisters in the family of faith. You can't mock God, and it's only pride and arrogance to think that we're not going to reap whatever we sow. Well, I can just pray for crawfish. No, you can't. You can cancel out some of the things you say, but if you've already sowed a seed, and here's another thing. If people say that, think about this. Why don't you want to reap what you sowed? Because the things that you sowed was pretty evil and vile that you don't want to reap any of it. Well, I'm going to just pray for crawfish. All they end up doing is just going around playing the victim. Sow good seed. You planted that. You're equipped to do every good work. I said, this is part of my job. I said, this is what the word of God does. So that every saint will be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. It's in you. Every work you do is a good work for the kingdom of God. It's in you already. You don't have to submit to your flesh. Sometimes that happens. But here's the thing. You get tripped up. Get right back in line with God. Lord, I missed it. Let's go. He says, all right, that's all right, man. Come on. That's all right. My blood covers that. My grace covers that. Let's go. You're sealed. Let's go. Don't be so hard on yourself. Come on. We got to move. We got work to do. The spiritual law. See, you can allow yourself to grow weary when you're planting. You can't allow yourself to grow weary when you're planting. And sometimes the enemy will come and try to undo what you were doing. You can't allow yourself to grow weary. It seems like I'm not getting anything. You're sowing. You're constantly planting. And sometimes that seed don't grow up because there's a lot of weeds in it. And now you got to use the word in order to clear out that weed. Again, the word of God is that weed and feed. Continue to use that word of God. It doesn't seem like anything that I'm saying in this person's life is ever getting, it's not hitting. Continue to plant, continue to sow, continue to water. You be consistent with that. Continue to be refreshing. Even if they come to you every single time, continue to sow and planting that. Why is that? They need it. Because you know you needed it. Don't grow weary. God is the one who promotes. God is the one who rewards. It's not people. God is the one. You don't realize that. God is the one. In Psalm 75, it says this, and I'm going to read also from the Passion Translation. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south come promotion and lifting up. But God is the judge. He puts down one and lifts up another. The Passion Translation says this, this I know, the favor that brings promotion and power doesn't come from anywhere on earth. For no one exalts a person but God, the true judge of all. He alone determines whether favor rests. Determines where favor rests. He anoints one for the greatness, for greatness, and brings another down to his knees. This is why it's important to keep your mind, your heart, and your mouth in line with his word. If you want hair in your chest, here we go. Some have to do that. Some have a hard time doing that. And so what ends up happening is that they end up compromising because they can't do that. Whatever you compromise in order to get to the top will control you at the top. That's why we don't compromise. Your pastor ain't compromised. Not one bit. You can twist my arm all you want. You can lie on me. You can slander me. You can call me whatever name. Guess what? I'ma still love you. If I give you a little bump here and there, don't get mad. That's why. Why is that? Because it says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who persecute you. You're not redeemed from persecution. So one of the reasons why I teach what I teach is because if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you wouldn't be persecuting another believer. Because he also says, and this is how they know you are my disciples, your love for one another. So if you want to persecute, you go ahead and persecute. I'm not going there with you. Why? Promotion comes from God. He's the one that promotes. He's the one that judges. He's the one that sets one up and can take down another. I ain't worried about it. You shouldn't worry about it. Keep your eyes and your heart fixed on Jesus. Your faith fixed on his word. Because his word will never, ever fail you. Not one time will it fail you. Not one time. It's never worth the price of your soul. Never compromise. Stay trusting in God. And if you had, I don't care. God doesn't care. Just repent. That's very easy to do. Lord, I missed it. I helped so-and-so do this to so-and-so. Forgive me. Forgive me. That wasn't my heart. I want to follow your ways now. I want to do what you called me to do. I want to live the way you tell me to live. Lord, I just want a relationship with you. See, I don't care. I said, people try to impress others. How many hours a week you're spending studying the word and doing all this other stuff? How many hours are you spending with Jesus? That's what I want to know. You can study and not have a relationship with him. I've seen that. And God has to schedule a time just to spend some time with you. Because all you're doing is studying. You got to have a balance in that. How's your relationship with Jesus? Because it says many in that day. How's your relationship? There's laws. Sowing and reaping works with everything that you give, whether it's spiritual, financial, physical, mental, it works. There's laws there. We watched a video Wednesday night of a minister talking about that, and he says he's So when he was in college, he was working a full-time job, going to Bible school, had a full-time job, and they had a coffee table, put all the bills out on the coffee table, and there was not one inch of wood. That's how many bills he had. Spoke to the bills. They ended up sowing a seed or what have you. And he said God financially just did miracle after miracle paying off those bills. They went into the ministry debt-free, and they were still debt-free even to this day. Now, God can do that. But see, that's the thing. The miracle helps project you into living in the blessing. And some people will just live from crisis to crisis to crisis. And that's why they just look like they're just, okay, why are you in the same place you were last year? They never took advantage of that blessing. A miracle is a blessing. In order to live in that blessing, you got to start flowing with the word. So whatever the Lord is having in your heart and what he's telling you to do, do it. And do it boldly. Why? Because you trust him. You trust him. No compromise, no selling out to people, no selling out for money. For the love of money is the root to all kinds of evil. God is not opposed for you having things, and he's not against you having money. He's against money having you and those things having you. So if he can tell you, hey, I need you to sow some things into somebody. Yes, sir. We can do that. I need you to whip up your last ingredient. I need you to bake your last cake like Elijah and that widow. Can you do that? Yes, sir. I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do that by faith. We weren't making much money. I said, but what got the Lord helped me to do? I said, when we sold, even the, for pastor's appreciation, the Lord put on my heart, start putting back $20 every week for a whole year. So every week, we put back $20. And we were able to sell 1,000 into my wife's dad, into the pastor. $20. That wasn't hard. That wasn't difficult. I said, but at the same time, it's like we were working six jobs. People thought we were Jamaican. Just $20 a week. And sold it and gave it gladly. Here you go. Why? I want to be a blessing to people. I've seen what it's done in my life. I want to get back. We had a couple, a family that came here years ago, and they were needing help. They had an energy bill. They were living with some other lady, and the lady sent them to go get somebody for the energy bill if they wanted to continue to stay. And I said, I don't have any money for that. It was like $600. But if you come back Monday, I can put you guys up in a hotel for a couple of days and give you some food. Oh, yeah, we'll do that. Well, what ends up happening is that... The mom got in an altercation with the lady, so she got taken into jail, put in jail for a week or so. Then the dad and the daughter were still there. They said, can you help us? I said, yeah, I told you I'd help you. So this was in Antonito, so I went there, my little white pickup, loaded up all this stuff. Man, you know, when people don't have a place to stay, they got a lot of things. That filled up my whole truck bed. That took all day. Because he had it stashed everywhere. And I know people were, thank you for, thank you for getting rid, thank you for taking them. And we loaded everything up. I brought them in and got them some food and got them a case of water, took them to get some job applications and put them in. And I put them up in the roadway for a week. And then I even gave them grocery money if they needed to go to the Dollar Tree or what have you. All that was still less than that bill. And I told my wife, I said, listen, if you see a charge on our debit card to a motel, it was because I put a guy and his daughter up for the week. And she goes, you just want to help people. I said, yeah. I learned from my dad. He goes, I would want somebody to help me if I was in need. And he says, you know, and the thing is you do unto others as you want them to do unto you. So that's what he always sowed. Your heavenly Father did that too. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God is a giver. And all he requires for you to do is to ask. He doesn't want you being your own God. He wants you dependent upon him in his ways, in his word, and what Jesus has provided for you. Because he is the gatekeeper. We are his sheep. And we go to him when we're in need. And then we have the body of Christ of people who's been in those positions before where they can help get an agreement so that those prayers become even more powerful. Get around somebody who knows the word. You don't have to do it alone. But sometimes we can just play that tiny violin just a little bit too much. And we just end up soliciting from people. God doesn't want us doing that either. When I stepped into this position, there was a certain amount that I was believing the Lord for. And I didn't know. I know promotion comes from him. I don't know if I was going to get a raise or whatever the case may be. Did I deserve one? It doesn't matter. I know I believed in the Lord. And I didn't even tell my wife. I didn't even take Tom out to go get him a steak. And, hey, Tom, go ahead and get all the trimmings and stuff. And let's see if you can put it in a good word for me. Didn't do that to Brandon. Didn't do that to Pastor Wes or what have you. When it was all said and done, Brandon got it to the dollar. On what? Because I'm very specific on my prayer. I like to take aim with it. And he got it down to the dollar. Never told a soul. Why? You pray, you believe, you receive. But who are you to ask? A child of God. But God is not a genie. No, he's El Shaddai. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord who provides. Get some hair on your chest. Quit complaining. Get some hair on your chest. Why? Word of faith will find you out. Instead of crying out to God, he says, this is in my word. Get it, grab hold of it, speak it out and believe it. Walk in it. Get some hair on your chest. You got to understand, that's an S on your chest, not a C. Luke 6:38. The Passion Translation says, give generously and generous gifts will be given back to you, shaken down to make room for more. Abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return. Make room. This is what we confess sometimes. If Brandon wants me to do the offering, if he can't be there, I'll have that confession on for us. We make room for more. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. I don't know about y'all. I said, my wife, she's the king, the queen, not the king. That would be weird. There's only two genders. Some of y'all was like, well, how does she have four kids? She's a queen at making snowballs. She knows how to do it. I don't make them very well because I'll just fill it up and go. And by the time I get there, it's halfway down because all the air, she'll stir it up, pack it down, shake it so she can get more. She's trying to fill it up and then it's overflowing. And I say, this is the way God does it with you. The measurement that you use, it doesn't matter if it's judgment, it doesn't matter if it's love, it doesn't matter if it's compassion, any of the fruit of the spirit, or even the lust of the flesh. I said, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So whatever you do, all I'm saying is, make sure you're sowing good seed, because that evil seed is going to come back too. Don't sow weeds, plant good seeds in people's lives. Why? Because you want a harvest of that so that you can use it for other people and continue to plant. That just makes sense. You know, if I had a fruit tree in my yard and I'm going to give somebody some, I'm not going to give them the worst. Why? Because I want my harvest, my next harvest to be the best. Come on. So when you give the best to people because it's what you want. God is El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. I get some vegetables from Miss Vicky. I said, you're talking about some big old tomatoes. Sometimes she gives you the little ones. Then she gives you some corn, or if you want it, I said, I don't think we ever got corn from you. I don't eat corn. Might break my tooth. But when you give abundantly. Give extravagantly. Give generously. God sees your heart behind every time you give. All right. In closing, the spiritual truth is this, that if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. You can't expect a generous harvest if you sow sparingly. And wherever you're at, he'll meet you there. He'll meet you there because he'll still multiply the seed that you sow. See, that's his faithfulness. So if you sow love in somebody, compassion, and you're generous with it, that's what you're going to get back. It's not necessarily money all the time, but it's whatever you give. If you're a prayer warrior, so people will covet those prayers. That's a good thing. Because you're going to need it someday. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your loving kindness. Lord, we thank you that you are a generous God. And since you are a generous God, you require us to be generous in everything we do. Help them to move in that direction in every area of their life, Lord, and multiply the good seed that they sow 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.